Hello and welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. This is episode number 155, and today we're going to be talking about this, creating your own online training community. I'm your host, John Zombro, and I'm pleased to say that the we in this whole deal is me or myself and my wonderful, amazing co-host, PK. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, John Boy. How you doing?
Oh, man, doing great. As usual, just loving, I don't know what we want to say, fall weather. It's a bit wintry lately, but, just feeling good, feeling healthy, taking it day by day, but finding the reasons to smile and be happy.
Nice. Taking it day by day. I love it. Same here. Same here on this end. I'd call it full on winter. We've got snow on the ground. Although we haven't had enough accumulation for full-on winter activities, I think we're into it. You know, if I've got a shovel my walk, I call it winter.
Full-on winter, fuo winter, or fall plus winter fanter. I don't know. folks, thanks for joining us today. It's really an honor to have you, and we certainly appreciate you. Today's episode is brought to you by the Lifetime Athletes Training Tribe. That's T2. And T2 is our online group training platform. And we're going to use it as an example today for our discussion. But before we jump into it, one of the things we do on some of the shows these days, PK will ask me, what's the tribe up to this week?
do I need to be here or what? Right?
Like, you always need to be here. I love you, bro. We're in an accumulation phase right now, in which the training volume is cycling upward. We're using some multi-positional breath work, some XL D-cell med ball movements, lifting to failure, believe it or not, in a couple of controlled circumstances, doing some loaded carries, and throwing in some nature walks. So it's fun, it's challenging, and I say with sincerity that because I'm training with the group, and some of it's kicking my A. But one of our targets this month is, we're still working in primarily an endurance training block, but right now we're trying to lower the resting heart rate. So resting pulse is a measure of health and cardiorespiratory fitness, and so we're really targeting that along with some other, smaller metrics. So we're mastering the art of recovery training, as in going easy enough to facilitate the gains, between those fitness maker sessions, which are kicking my A, but it's all good. So just fun stuff. And I'm really feeling some satisfaction, some joy, some connection and consistency from doing this for myself. And I think that a lot of the members are sharing with me that that's what's indeed happening for them as well.
I like it. So is there any sort of a benchmark for a quality, like a healthy resting heart rate that you can use? Sort of, we've talked about where your max heart rate is. Is there any sort of equation or just like guidelines you could give if someone's thinking about like, I wonder what my resting heart rate is?
Yeah, if you ballpark it, 72 is a great number. So, a lot of the health data would suggest, hey, if your resting pulse is below 72, that correlates strongly with, health, longevity, et cetera. And then as we start to push forward into a more athletic focus, trying to go sub 60 is really great. So if you have a resting pulse that's below 60 beats per minute, that's a heart that's not working too hard to supply your circulation while you're hanging around. And that's really our long-term goal.
Got it. And is this one of the, like in terms of resting, is this you get your heart rate when you're, before you get up in the morning, when you're still in bed, or is it just when you've been sitting around for a while? Like what constitutes resting?
Yeah, that's how we're doing it. We're doing the take it before you get out of bed. It's going to be the lowest rate you'll probably have in the day, and it's consistent. So that's good data collection practice. Although, if you've been sitting for long enough or lying down on the couch or whatever, you're probably still going to go back to that resting number as long as you're in a well-recovered status. So that's probably enough of me rambling about resting heart rate.
That's good. No, you didn't ramble at all. That was just targeted information. That was a nug, folks. Well, cool. Well, let's get right into it. How are we going to tackle this, question today of creating your own online training community?
Yeah, and I think there are some nuggets in this as well, but this is really nougat. I mean, it's really that, it's the candy center. And so in sports, in fitness, and health, we have a problem right now. And I think as we go through this discussion, we have a solution.
So what's the problem then?
Well, certainly this, everyone's going to identify with this, or it's going to resonate with them. The pandemic this year, I don't need to say too much that that has created this shift or change for many people in that, well, maybe we're not having team sport, competitions or even practices. Maybe the gyms are closed or partially open at limited capacity. You know, maybe you've got, concerns and reservations. So all of a sudden, there are a lot of folks who aren't doing the fitness and sports things that they had been doing or that they want to do. And then right. I'd also come back to it and I say, yes. And also over the last, number of years, probably decades, but I'm going to go back, say, 5 to 8 years in particular, I see this modern world having a lot of mounting challenges and obstacles that have been in existence and have just been making it tougher for people to, get consistent with training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I think as I looked at this, many athletes and fitness enthusiasts, they've lost a bit of that consistency. And so now we're actually seeing a drop in health and performance. Maybe even, that could be measured with resting heart rate, as we were talking about, among mm-hmm. other things. Again, that maybe not every single person. There's some people like my friend Fast Freddy. He's always going to train. It's like brushing his teeth. Therefore, maybe this discussion doesn't apply to him. But for the rest of us, for most of us, we need to recognize that there has been a loss of connection with other people around exercise and also consistency in order to get results.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, I think that if we're taking that as our problem, then certainly you're suggesting solutions for that today.
Yeah. And as an advocate for, sports, health, fitness, activity, loving life, doing that with others, and also as an advocate for using technology, I'm going to say this: gyms, team practices, one-on-one coaching, group fitness, I love all those things. They are awesome. But when they're less available, instead of saying mm-hmm. F it and doing nothing, there is a viable alternative, and that is the online training community.
Absolutely. And I think, in addition to not being able to do it, I think another wrinkle in that, in the hurdle there, is that it might just not feel right. Even if you could do it, I think that there's just some psychological hurdles to, wanting to be around people just with this unknown safe or unsafe. So I think it's even more complicated than just simply gyms are open and closed. I think there's this other sort of psychological component too, where, it's tough to get motivated to do something that you don't know is safe.
Yeah. I'm thinking of words like barriers and boundaries. Mm-hmm. They've definitely popped up.
Yeah. Well, and so there is a safe and immediately available, this is the online training community. Let's tap into that a little bit. And I know that you want to start off talking about the pros and cons of online training.
Yes. And I'd say that there are mostly pros. Mm-hmm. I don't have an exclusive list or an extensive list, excuse me, to go over, but I would say this: online training provides easy access to programming and other things. Generally, it comes at a very low cost. It's super convenient because it's available on demand, and it's 21st century utilization of the simple technologies which we employ everywhere else for our work, our shopping. I mean, you name it. So this is not like it's earth shattering or cutting edge. It's gosh, these things are available and they're good. Now there is a small con, and I would say this, going back to what we were talking about just a moment ago, that human contact element. Mm-hmm. In an online training model, it is virtualized. And that's never quite as good enough as the real thing. I would certainly agree to that. But I'm going to say it this way. You can get that elsewhere in your life, you know, in your relationships, you know, in family and close friends and those small circles. I mean, that's where we need those things as humans. But in reality, we don't have to have those most of the time to get really effective training.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that you've really hit on kind of a, you know, we talked about it with the Q&A the last week or the week before, where sort of fitness or training can be that human element that you know, that could be your socializing and your contact. So if you can't get that through your training, but you can replace it or sort of, you know, subsidize with that human contact in other places in your life, what you're suggesting is that you still need to, you can't let the training down, right?
Yeah, you can get your training and you can get your humanism. They just don't always have to be together.
Got it. Well, I like this. I mean, you know that I'm tracking one-to-one here. Keep going.
Well, okay, so whether you're setting up your own online training community, which is kind of what this discussion's about, or you're joining an existing program, here are a few considerations that we're going to go through. And my goal in this is that I'll describe each component somewhat briefly. You know, maybe we'll have an exchange, and then I'll give an example of how I do it with my group, the Training Tribe.
Got it. Okay. So we're looking at this through the lens of, if you're thinking about creating your own online training community, if like you're just, you know, listening, you're thinking, hey, I want to, you know, like switch my running group to a virtual. This is sort of the recipe that you would give. And then we're going to go ahead and talk about how you do with T2. So I like that. We're going to talk about the idea and then your example. So.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think it's kind of a how-to guide to set up your own. It's also kind of a set of considerations that, you know, if you're going to join something that you've found out there, to vet it, to make sure that, again, it's going to be a good fit and it's going to meet your needs. So that's kind of what I would say. And where I would begin this discussion is with the topic of communication.
Got it.
So, you know, it has many definitions, but with respect to an online training platform, we're really saying, well, how is information disseminated and how do folks connect? And so obviously today we have many options available, could be in the form of an app, through a website, utilizing an email list, any social media platform, of which many are quite conducive to doing this, having a private network like that or a forum, and the use of a video conference or even teleconference technology, all those things are easily accessed and you know, can be used either in conglomerate fashion or in separate fashion to communicate with your group.
Got it. And so since you list this as the first consideration, do you think that this is the most important or one of the important factors in having success creating an online training community?
Yeah, because you're saying, okay, well, I've got this idea, we're going to set this thing up, or it's already existing. How is it done? Can this work for me or our group? And so what we do in T2, we use most of those items. So we house everything through the website, and members have, you know, exclusive, unlimited legacy access to it. We have an email list that updates them on certain things. We have pretty much our own, you know, private social network in the form of a forum, which allows them to, you know, post media as other things. And we also do video conference meetings over Zoom. So there's a lot of connection that we're using to communicate and relate and be, you know, connected as part of a tribe, and also just have it at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. And what else are you thinking about?
Well, one of the things is, you know, when we talk about content, you know, you can deliver content any number of ways. There's, you know, there's the WOD model, you know, the workout of the day. Mm-hmm. Which is popularized by CrossFit, but other, you know, people have done that too. And then you can start panning out from there and say, okay, well, do you want to give programming over a longer time period than every day. And so what I do is I use the WOW, because I like how WOW sounds, but that's it's workouts of the week. And so, you know, depending upon the week, there might be, like this week, there's four different workouts. There's an A workout, and then there's a B1, B2, and a B3. So we're on a kind of a on-off A-B split. It's a six-day training week. They repeat the A workout Monday, Wednesday, Friday. B1 is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. B2 is Thursday. B3 is Saturday. You know, there's so many ways to do these things, but that's just how we're doing it this week. And so I like to make the content, as far as a communication and learning style, very accessible. So we have it in table form. You know, a person who's, you know, in a hurry or very familiar with how we do things just glances at the table, bang, knows what to do. We have it in text form. So it's written out with some written explanations, and, you know, the verbal learners really appreciate that. And then of course we have a video. And so there's always a video for, you know, each week's workouts of the week. And some people like to follow along with the video, you know, get those demonstrations, listen to my jokes, all that. So we do those things. And really, then the communication comes back to me as well, because we have those, what we call weekly masterclass meetings, where, you know, we will always talk about some pertinent topic in health, fitness, performance, nutrition, lifestyle, you name that. And then also have time for Q&A, so they can, you know, members can engage with me directly, and we can do that. And then also in our forum, you know, they can post any comment, question, picture, video, and that, I think that's important to make the communication not just two-way, but every way.
Got it. Okay. I mean, the ease of use, I think that's a big factor, but not just ease in terms of dissemination, but to get that two-way street. So there is authentic communication, right?
Yeah. And ease of use, it has to be simple for it to be successful. So whatever it is, it's got to be quick and easy. Just a few clicks or swipes or finger taps. And it should work across all devices. So that's very important, you know, just from an organizational standpoint. So T2 Training Tribe, we house everything in one place, and then members have that unlimited legacy access, so they can go and, you know, look at what they want at any time, whether they're on their phone or at their desk or you name it.
Got it. Okay. So we check those two boxes. You know, we've got our setup, communication, we've got a way to deliver the information. Where do you go from there?
Well, I'd say this. The group, the community, the programming, we can, however we want to describe it, there has to be a major goal that this thing is trying to accomplish, and it has to be common among the members. So we want people to be on the same page, same path, have that shared vision or mission. That's how, you know, that's how teams are built, and that's how this is going to work best.
Mm-hmm. So if you're like, how do you go about doing that if you're creating this from yourself, or how did you do that for the Train Tribe?
Yeah, I'd say, first of all, for any person, you know, if you're looking around at the offerings that are available, you may want to just find the group that fits you best. Or create that one, you know, again, doing either one. And so every group essentially has an avatar, you know, kind of a person that really fits, you know, describes it well, and a personality that goes along with that avatar and ultimately that group. So aligning yourself for best results is really key. And, you know, that can be in a like a specific sport group, like you mentioned, a running group, or it could be a weight loss group. Again, any number of things are available. And some things that are more general and have some crossover, that's okay too. The key, though, is to find or create the one goal, one group, one common goal that really motivates you, that you enjoy, and with which you'll stay very consistent. Mm-hmm. So, because that's really the key in all of this, is like, hey, we want to be consistent, get those benefits, maintain high levels of athleticism and functionality through the lifespan. So, the Lifetime Athletes Training Tribe is built around the concept of athletic fitness. So that has to, if that resonates with the person, like, oh, okay, maybe they're tribe material, or maybe the tribe's for them. So our mission is to create more well-rounded athletic athletes and fitness enthusiasts by addressing all five of the capacities of human performance. And those are strength, speed, power, agility, and endurance. You can present them in any order. We talk about them all the time here. But what we do is we use a conjugate, concomitant, love C words, model where those things are blended together. And so our goal is to build a better human beast, because we always stay true to ancestral principles, who is strong, fast, versatile, and durable. So you can wake up and perform well in just about anything that life throws at you. And so that's what we do. That's our mission, our goal, commonality in T2. And it's all about becoming and staying HTK, hard to kill. On the playing field, yes, in your chosen pursuits, but also in the darn game of life.
So I think that's interesting if you say, okay, you've been doing this for a while, that's your stated goal, and you have a group of people that are committed to that. You know, how does that manifest in the conversations that you have? It's you know, you've been doing it long enough that how have you seen the power of that common goal manifest itself?
I find a lot of people are like-minded and, you know, I mean, maybe like me in some ways, because excuse me. And we talked about this before as well, but like occasionally I like to specialize a bit and have things that I do, but for the most part, I really want to be a high level generalist. You know, I want to be able to do a lot of things reasonably well. And I think that's the best way to take one's inner beast or one's body through the journey. You know, so you wake up one day, it's like, okay, now we're going on a big hike. Another day, you know, you're cycling, or, you know, you're playing tennis or basketball. If your supportive training is touching on the five capacities, you're able to do that and perform reasonably well without, let's say, getting an injury, which is really, you know, a kind of a showstopper. So that's kind of what I have found. There's a lot of people that are like, yeah, you know, I like to do a few things here and there, or they even have that one thing where it's like, I like to do a lot of running or cycling or skiing, you know, you start naming things. But in addition to that, I kind of want this kind of almost supplemental, you know, well-rounded thing. So that's kind of how I've seen this work. When I get a person who says, I really am a specialist and I want to do a minimum amount of that, you know, all around business, and I really want to, you know, squeeze the lemon in my chosen field, they typically go for these one-on-one coaching services that I offer. And we design, you know, personalized programs and kind of have that 24/7 contact to help those folks. But I would say the committed, dedicated specialists are far outnumbered by, you know, the rest of us who just want to be strong in the pack.
Nice. And I mean, I think that we could say, if you are a specialist, you could then look for a community of people of specialists for whatever you're like dialed in for, that you have a hunger for.
Yeah. You know, running, cycling, powerlifting. Sure. I see some really good things out there that are available and highly recommend them for folks. So, you know, that's always my thing. It's like, you know, I like to talk openly about what we do in the tribe. And if it really fits you, hey, maybe consider joining us or doing one like that yourself. But if you're like, nope, I really just have this one thing that I want to put most of my energy into and love, well, then by all means, you know, do that.
Absolutely. Okay. So what are you thinking about next then, if we've got our common goal established?
Well, kind of related to some of that previous rambling, you got to have a system. You know, the program needs a definable method. So there's got to be something probably written down somewhere that says, okay, this is how we are working towards that goal. This is the system that we're using. And it, you know, it has, you know, certain components within it that make some sense. And, you know, that's kind of how I would say it. So if I say the system that I use with Training Tribe is what's called a block periodization model. And this is just one way that you can divide up your training and your year in this case. And so the year is broken into five blocks of 2 to 3 months each. The five capacities of human performance, again, those are strength, speed, power, agility, and endurance. They're addressed in each block, but one is emphasized primarily. And in our annual training plan, so again, part of having a system and a definable method, we have a document that each training block is expressed in bar chart form. And so you can kind of see that, okay, there's all the boxes are there, but one of them's higher than the other. Well, members don't have to sweat the details about all that because I do it for them in designing the programming. But it's good for them to know, hey, there actually is a method to this madness. And I think that's any person who's a program designer or a coach, owes that to put the why in for their peeps. So it's kind of like this, what we do in ours. We spend some time polishing a capacity without allowing the others to deteriorate. And that's what I oftentimes will call a science meets common sense approach. So we're, having a lot of wizardry behind what we're doing, but the application is actually quite simple. And it's this: get results, have fun, don't get hurt. There should be a moan of silence because that says it all for me. And and I think that's where, there is some stuff out there that's more on the crappy side. It doesn't have a system. It doesn't have a definable method. It's just, motivated but not highly qualified people making up bull crap. And then some people, it can be attractive. It can be kind of sexy because, oh man, we're going to sweat buckets and you're going to get your ass kicked. And that, there's a place for working hard. I'd love doing that on, a proper sequence. But I think some of the stuff that's out there is just garbage. It's like every day it's totally different. And your body never has a chance to refine movement patterns and make full adaptation. So, in vetting any program, there needs to be a good system, and it needs to be explained clearly somewhere. Otherwise, you might want to shy away from those things.
Absolutely. Well, it takes us into our next category, which is coaching, and it's who's coming up with that system and sort of how you how you get guidance along the path. So let's dive into that just a little bit.
Yeah. So even an online group platform, it needs some kind of direction, some leadership and a human element. And all those things are, the responsibility of the coach. And so, there are some constraints, obviously. In a group platform, an online one, a coach can't typically provide as much direct input or feedback as in a one-on-one service. But team members really do benefit from knowing that there is a coach. There's someone that they have access to, that they trust, with which they have mutual respect, and who has their back, wants them to succeed. And so I think that's very important. It's not just, oh, you're a workout designer or you're some, energized, animated person on the screen kicking everyone's ass. It's got to be more than that. And so what I do with T2 is I use those master classes. We have one every week over Zoom and the forum to address all the questions and the comments directly. And I really feel like that is a great benefit for the members. And it's great for me too, to have that, that connection and really to polish the craft.
Yeah, and coaching by definition is personal. So if you're not getting something personal to you, if you have that need, then you're not really getting that coaching.
Yeah, and I think there's a fair amount in the T2 model and in a lot of these online group programs where that's all most of us need, Then you get the person that says, gosh, I really do need more. I need a lot of elaborate programming and I need somebody that I can, talk to, call, text, email every day. That's one-on-one coaching, you know, that's, and again, those people who are typically more specialized will select that.
Absolutely. So what's next on our list, our checklist here?
I've got adaptability. Mm-hmm. And how I would propose adaptability for online training groups is the program needs to be somewhat adjustable or scalable to fit the varying needs of the members, so the team, tribe members. So a fixed program that's rigid, non-yielding, it's just here it is, do exactly this on this day, you know, they tend to fail actually quite miserably.
Mm. Yeah, and, I mean, we've talked about that a fair bit on this show.
Yeah, the reason is it just, there's not any room for adaptation or adjustment, shall we say, because things happen. You know, everyone has different abilities, different histories, different lives. The things are going on in their lives. And so they can't always just be, you know, the robot to the spreadsheet. And that's, you know, again, I think we have to be aware of that. So what I do with T2 is I try to guide the athletes. And I, you know, I call all my members athletes because they are.
Absolutely.
To adjust things like load, intensity, duration, volume, frequency. You know, some of those things that we talk about as workout parameters here often, to fit them to get their best results. And so I liken it to a building, and you've got the engineers creating, you know, the best design. That's a strong structure with some earthquake or life, shall we say, flexibility. You know, so again, if everything is built so rigid, it might shatter and fall. But if it's strong yet has a little bit of give or wiggle, oh, it might last the test of time. And so the buildings do, and also the programming does.
Like it. All right. I like that metaphor. keep it going. What's next on our list?
I like comprehensive programming. And so that one is an interesting one to explain as well. So, you know, we want to be comprehensive with respect to covering the bases of the goal. So whatever the goal is, we need to make sure that we're addressing all the, you know, types of exercises and energy system development and all that, that is required. You know, if we are calling our program a something, it needs to have, you know, the nuts and bolts that something requires. So we want to be comprehensive in that respect. And also we want to have the right amount of variety. So try to give some of my examples here. You know, I like to use that idea of science and common sense, or even wisdom, shall we say. We want to understand the mechanisms of stimulus and adaptation for those targeted metrics and apply them intelligently. So, you know, what you're really doing with that is being artistic, and then find that sweet spot between doing the same thing all the time, which not necessarily what I recommend, and constant chaos, which is the everything's different all the time, total change. Neither of those things, in my humble and honest opinion, get the best results or stand the test of time. But that bell-shaped curve, you know, which most things biologic, you know, tend to fall under, you know, if you're you know, oscillating under that bell-shaped curve, okay, well, sometimes we do things with regularity and consistency because we're really trying to drill down on them. But then to another extent, we mix it up and let the body and mind guess a little bit and create that versatility, durability in the beast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Constant chaos is the bueno. So what's next on your list?
I like objective measures. And okay. So, you know, you got to measure something and test the training to know if it's working. So just doing all the time without assessing probably isn't as effective as checking in once in a while. It's like, okay, well, if this was the goal and this is something that I'm working towards, then how is the stuff I'm doing actually, addressing that? So again, objective measures, some examples, like say in a fat loss group or let's say, you know, weight loss, but we're trying to lose body fat. That's body composition, you know, that we might look at that, or you could even say, oh gosh, I want to look at waist circumference or so forth. Power lifters, they're typically looking at their one rep maxes in the major lifts or the totals that they get with the big three. Cyclists think in terms of watts and are looking at peak power. Runners like pace, health, again, back to heart rate or even blood pressure. So there can be metrics that you're sampling regularly to just make sure that your programming is effective.
Got it. Okay.
So in and in T2, we identify several key performance indicators. So there's KPIs each month. And then we specifically test them. So we have a week where we, you know, we run through some testing to, you know, actually, you know, try to hit our goals. And this allows the members to track their progress. And also because of how we use the forum, they can compare themselves to themselves as well as other tribe members. And again, in a, you know, friendly competition, supportive way. So we throw in some of those friendly comps and we essentially gamify the KPI test. So they end up having some, you know, some fun elements and some scores that come up. And what we always see with different beasts is somebody shines in one area and then somebody else shines in another area. And that's really an interesting thing to observe. And along with that, what I try to do through all my communication with folks is I want to enhance their knowledge of results, or KR, you know, that really is important to have them know what they're doing and getting, and also their intrinsic motivation, you know, to enjoy this, to have fun, to look forward to it, keep doing it. That's powerful.
Absolutely. Well, I love that. I mean, obviously, you know, we've talked about that a lot on this show, and I'm a fan of those KPIs. And I like the idea that you're measuring against yourself, but you're also in the context of a larger group. So you have that sort of common thing to talk about. And for me, that always helps take things from the abstract. And really, it's more the conversation that can unfold when you have common goals, in addition to just that sort of benchmark as you're improving and working.
Yeah. And that leads me right into this next thing, which is social component. We got to have that connection and commitment. And it's nothing new these days to connect virtually and make it meaningful to some extent. Belonging to something that you're proud of, you look forward to engaging in, and you're trying not to let your peeps down. All those things, you know, can happen with an online training community. And it's one of those benefits of having it. You know, just you get that, you know, you can check in with somebody quickly and ask them a question or say, hey, I'm going to do my such and such today. If you're in the same locale, you know, you want to get together, whatever. That's important. And then what I'd like to say about training is, you know, in T2 and just at the Lifetime Athlete overall, I view training as a celebration, you know. And in some ways, it's a social op, social opportunity.
Oh, for sure.
Not a punishment. It's not even a job or something we get done. It's something we have the privilege to do. And so I like to mix the serious and organized with the elements of play and joy. And sometimes I'm a goofball, but you know, T2 becomes an identity, you know, for folks. They're, yeah, I'm a member of the tribe. This is what I'm seeing happening. You know, I'm getting fit and healthy, loving it. I've got these people I'm connecting with. So they're, what I always say is they're warriors fighting the good fight.
Absolutely. And you think that they are benefiting from the social component. You're actually witnessing that. In addition, so are you as the coach and a member yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised, but I'm pleased that's occurring. And it's gratifying, you know, just knowing that, you know, I can check in every day with some people on how they're doing, or hear from them, you know, what's happening. And so some of the messages that I've gotten, just recently, you know, it'll be like someone says, gosh, we're doing nature walks right now, you know, as part of our recovery practices. It's, oh, I love the nature walks. And and I love the way we incorporate some breath work into that. And I even managed to stroll through the woods and pick up some items for an art project I'm working on. And then, you know, that's cool. You know, it's saying, oh, this thing fits into someone's life. And then, you know, another person had shot me a message that said, these workouts are keeping me sane. And I'm like, okay, that's good. I mean, you get what you need to get out of training.
Absolutely. I love that. So we're, as we take this home, I know you have one more item on your list. What's that?
Yeah. And it's, I think it's the ultimate item, and that's value. And, you know, value is really the perception that you have that whatever you're doing is worth it. So, you know, if you think an online training community has value, you're getting results of some type, many types. It's worth your time and your money, and it adds to your life.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, how are you using that in, when you came up with T2?
Yeah. I would say, you know, I came up with T2 as a lot of things happened for me, somewhat spontaneously or almost serendipitously, but I had been, you know, working with people and coaching in different capacities and running training groups through my facilities, for decades. And I would see that mojo, that a lot of what we've just been talking about. And I was like, well, I wonder if there's a way, this was pre-pandemic, when I, you know, started working on this, to kind of take that mojo, and just get it into something that people can access very easily and, you know, have that benefit of consistent, good training and getting some results. And so that's kind of where, I guess that's a genesis story. And I don't think that's exactly what you asked, but what my emphasis is with the Training Tribe is to do all the things that we just talked about, at less than a buck a day. Mm-hmm. So really my goal, was to remove obstacles, for folks, to get what they needed and deserved. And so take away complexity, take away confusion, eliminate cost as a barrier and create the win. And I think that's what T2 has done. And I think the Training Tribe is working for a lot of people and I'm loving it. And if anyone's, you know, listening, you know, maybe that's an option for you as well. But if not, that's okay, because I think now you've got some ideas of what to look for, that's out there, or even what you might want to do yourself.
Absolutely. And so maybe you could sum it up and take us home back to the barn. Like, if you had to sum up in the end, what really matters when you're thinking about this?
Health and performance capacities, no matter how you get there. So, and we want people to be healthy. Everyone deserves that. And we want people to be high performing and athletic beasts. So there's a lot of roads to Rome. And so as long as you get to Rome, in other words, you know, get these things, it doesn't really matter what you do. You just got to find, the thing that, that provides you, while you're on that journey, on that road to, let's say, health and performance, aka Rome, that it's enhancing your quality of life and your enjoyment, in the process. So I'd say that. And then in most cases, it comes down to this simple principle, one of our basic principles here at TLA: moderate consistency with your training. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you have something that helps you to get most of your stuff done most of the time, well, you're winning. And you know, it's context matters. And so is that 55% or is it 95%? And it's probably sometimes 55 and sometimes 95. I don't think that best results happen when you're doing less than 50% of what needs to be done. And I don't think that you hardly ever have to do 100%, but you know, you're in that, if you're in that, it's bigger than a quartile, but that upper area, that's where we want to be.
Yeah. Quartile, I like it. Anything else that you think about, big picture?
Yeah, as I'm thinking about moderate consistency, I tell folks all the time to kind of pan out, you know, back up and take a look at your data points over the long term. So, you know, there are going to be ups and downs. And so anything that's, you know, when you look at statistics and you have data points and you connect the dots, it's a roller coaster, it's an EKG pattern, that's going to happen. But if you back up far enough and quote unquote, draw the line of best fit, you're going to see an upward linear trend when you're moderately consistent. And that's what we want. And I say, you know, for a person who's a bit myopic and looking closely, well, don't beat yourself up. You know, there are tough times when stuff just didn't get done, and that's all right too. And that's also how, like, we have this set up in the tribe. You know, you can drift in and out, and you know, you're always welcomed by the group, but also the programming is such that, you know, it's not like, you know, you've got to start over from scratch. That's not indicated. So lastly, I'd say put in place something, like an online training community, given these times right now, that can help you to stay consistent and get what you deserve out of life and sports. And that's it.
Love it. Absolutely. Well, any parting comments before we sign off for the day?
Yeah, final salutations. I'd say, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you, PK, for being here. And if you'd like more information about setting up your own online training community, then you can check out the article, Things to Know About Online Training, under the media blog menu item at thelifetimeathlete.com. And if you're digging the Training Tribe vibe, give that a look on the site and consider joining our community. So until next time, this is Coach Jay-Z signing off from Lifetime Athlete, and I'll leave PK to say his farewell.
Oh, yeah, just, you know, pleasant as always, inspirational, and thanks everybody for tapping in. We'll catch up with you next time. Adios.